those of you who have your Bibles, Exodus 19, starting with verse 3. Then Moses went up to Gad. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine. But you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. And then start with Exodus 20, verse 1. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son, or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to you. How many of you had to memorize the Ten Commandments as part of Sunday school or confirmation? Yes. Okay, how many of you still have them memorized? Okay. Fair enough. I'm one of them that does not have it memorized. In fact, this morning I was talking with Mike, who sleeps here once in a while out on our porch, and I was talking to him yesterday, told him I was preaching on the Ten Commandments, and this morning he asked me, "So, it's kind of an awkward question, but do you know all of them?" I said, "No. We will have them on a PowerPoint slide, and we'll refer to them in just a few minutes." So, last week Pastor Pat talked about the Israelites leaving Egypt, and taking that step into the unknown, that step outside of our comfort zone, taking that step into that water. And today, in both 19 and 20, chapters 19 and 20, God reminds the people that it was God who brought the people out of slavery. And God did not simply take people out of slavery, out of Egypt, put them in a land and say, "Good luck. You are here, go ahead and live." In verse 4, God said to Moses, "I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." God is starting the covenant with God's people. God's love for us has been shown. And now God provides some rules for us to live by. And these rules are not rules that put people back into bondage or slavery. These rules are ways for people to live together well. Rules that show people how we respect each other and how to treat each other. So if you would advance the slide once. Okay. So if you look through these, the kind of intern Pastor Stacy's words, especially the last one, because I don't know how many of you have neighbors who may have an ox or a donkey. So I changed those words a little bit. But what we're going to do is we're going to do something a little different. We're going to take a quick look at these laws, at these commandments. And I don't think we need to personally dissect each and every one of them, nor do we need to reinterpret them for how they apply in the time of Egypt and when the people came out of Egypt, and then reinterpret how they apply today. Personally, I believe the commandments are pretty straightforward, and they apply to us today. And what we're going to do is we're going to take some of these commandments and we're going to rework them. So, some of you may need to get out of your comfort zone a little bit. What we're going to do is we're going to take a couple of these and we are going to rework it so that we have a sentence that tells us what happens when we actually follow this law, this commandment. Okay? I'm going to give a couple of examples because I know my instructions aren't always the most clear. So, if we took, you shall not steal, what happens when we do not steal from someone?
They will trust you.
They will trust us. Perfect, yeah. Another thing that I thought of is the person may actually be able to continue to live. We may think that somebody who has electronics is kind of over the top. How do we know that that person does not need that computer in order to do their daily work? They may work from home, have their own business. If we steal that electronics, we're basically taking their livelihood. So another one, remember the Sabbath. What happens when we remember the Sabbath?
Relaxation?
Church.
Church? Yep, we gather, we worship God, we sing, we praise.
Feed our soul.
Feed our soul.
Yeah, community.
Community.
Or at least part of one day, God is in our thoughts.
Perfect. Part of one day, God is in our thoughts. So how about any of the others, other commandments? Can any of you take one, rework it, reword it, look at it differently?
If we don't commit adultery, we will not be ruining relationships.
When we don't commit adultery, we don't ruin relationships.
When we honor our parents, our children will respect and honor us.
Yep. Who's our neighbor?
Who's not our neighbor?
Say again?
So who's not our neighbor?
Who's not our neighbor? Exactly. So if we tell lies about our neighbor, relationships.
If we honor these rules, we set ourselves free.
I'm sorry, what, Eric?
If we honor these rules, this basic set of rules, we set ourselves free.
Yeah.
If we don't make anything an idol, we don't have to worry about having materialistic things be so important to us.
I challenge you this week. Look at these 10 sentences a little differently. Why do we do these? We know that every day that there's examples of people not living well together, people who need to exert power over one another, whether it's physical power, emotional, financial. Some of you football fans may have seen some public service announcements this last week, or we'll see them today, and most likely throughout the month of October. The PSAs were created by a campaign called the No More Campaign. It's an anti-domestic violence and sexual assault campaign, and they are doing it now because October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And unfortunately, some athletes have given far more press and media coverage to domestic violence in the last couple months, in the last year. I think one of the examples that's probably most well known is how the actions of Ray Rice live up to living up to God's call for us to live together. How do Ray Rice's actions show that we treat each other decently and with respect? My first week here at internship, I attended a workshop in Madison, and it was on domestic violence, and the workshop was geared specifically to people of faith communities. And I have just recently received a report that talks about and details domestic violence in Wisconsin, and it's sobering. In 2013, there were 55 deaths as a result of domestic violence. Two stories that I'm just going to briefly talk about show the vastness of this violence. In July 2013, 57-year-old Clarence Charles was killed by his boyfriend, Homer Washington, in Sherwood, Wisconsin. In December 2013, in Iron River, James Crane Jr. was charged with the death of his parents, 79-year-old James Sr. and 76-year-old Eunice. Now these are two stories. The report goes on to detail about a stepson killing his stepfather, about a girlfriend killing a boyfriend, a wife killing a husband, and of course, the most common, a male killing a female. These stories definitely detail how one or two or three of God's commandments are being broken. Do not kill. Honor your mother and your father. But what we need to remember is that domestic violence occurs in every community and very possibly in every congregation. And it has been brushed under the rug far too long. A piece that might be a little bit more difficult to remember, kind of keep at the forefront of our mind, is the fact that domestic violence encompasses more than what this report included, the deaths. Domestic violence is much more than physical abuse of another person. When a person is continually told how stupid or ugly she is, that's abuse, and that's domestic violence. Domestic violence occurs when a partner is kept from building any type of a support group or have any friends outside of that abusive partner. And when a partner is kept from all financial resources. Rules and commands to live by. given to us by a God who loves us and wants us to be in relationship with God and with each other. What do we need to do in order for that to happen? Do we need to stop looking the other way? Do we need to reach out for help? Do we need to reach out and help someone? God did not create us to be puppets. God created us to be in relationship with each other. And for that relationship to be healthy, loving, and God-centered.